भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, The Creative Impetus, Chapter 20, The Structure of the Universe, Verse Number 41. आकल्पमेवं वेशं गत एष भगवान् आत्मयोगमायया विरचिता विविधलोकयात्रा गोपीयायेति अर्थ वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग आकल्पम फॉर द ड्यूरेशन ऑफ द टाइम ऑफ क्रिएशन एवं दस वेशम अपियरेंस गत हैज एक्सेप्टेड एष दिस भगवान द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडेड आत्मयोग मायया बाय हिज ओन स्पिरिचुअल पोटेंसी विरचिता परफेक्टेड विविध लोक यात्रा द लाइवलीहुड ऑफ द वेरियस प्लैनेटरी सिस्टम्स गोपियाय जस्ट टू मेंटेन इति दस अर्थ द पर्पस Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The various forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such as Narayan and Vishnu, are beautifully decorated with different weapons. The Lord exhibits those forms to maintain all the varied planets created by his personal potency, Yog Maya. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita 4.6, Lord Krishna says, Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. I appear by my internal potency. The word Atma Maya refers to the Lord's personal potency, Yog Maya. After creating both the material world and spiritual world through Yog Maya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally maintains them by expanding himself in different categories as the Vishnu Murtis and the demigods. He maintains the material creation from beginning to end and he personally maintains the spiritual world. Om Ajnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी थीनामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिने निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिने जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we'll read the verse before this also, number 40, translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of all transcendental opulences and the master of the spiritual sky. He is the Supreme Person, Bhagavan, the super soul of everyone. The demigods led by Indra, the king of heaven, are entrusted with seeing to the affairs of the material world. To benefit all living beings in all the varied planets and to increase the power of those elephants and of the demigods, the Lord manifests himself on top of that mountain in a spiritual body, uncontaminated by the modes of material nature. Surrounded by his personal expansions and assistance, like Vishwaksena, he exhibits all his perfect opulences, such as religion and knowledge, and his mystic powers, such as Anima, Lagima, and Mahima. He is beautifully situated and he is decorated by the different weapons in his forehands. 41. The various forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such as Narayan and Vishnu, are beautifully decorated with different weapons. The Lord exhibits those forms to maintain all the varied planets created by his personal potency, Yog Maya. Hare Krishna. So we have been reading the structure of the universe, which is a quite technical subject matter. And we have read the section about Lok Alok mountain, which is considered the outer boundary of the three planetary systems. All the planets, the varshas, the islands, they stay within the range of this mountain. And beyond this mountain, not even sunlight reaches. So there are no inhabitants. Now, when somebody hears about such a big universe measuring 4 billion miles with unlimited living entities, with unlimited planets, then the question comes, who is maintaining this? Like if we go to a nice park and we see everything very organized, clean, nice playing area, jogging area, exercise area for children, for young boys, everything very organized, then one may wonder, who is taking care of this? Whom does it belong to? What intelligence is behind this park? So in the same way, such a big universe, which we can't even comprehend with our intelligence, is not just there without any intelligent person behind it. So Sri Sukadeva Goswami, he is describing the form of Vishnu, who is maintaining all these planets, all these varshas, and all these dvipas. On the top of the Lokalok mountain, there are 4 elephants, invisible 4 elephants, in 4 different directions, who are responsible for the maintaining of these planets. And with these elephants, responsible are the demigods headed by Indra to maintain these planets. And with these elephants and with these demigods, the chief maintainer who supports these personalities to maintain is Lord Vishnu himself. Before describing further the maintenance of Lord Vishnu, let me tell you one story. This story is about Suzuki, not Maruti Suzuki, one ant called Suzuki. Before starting, let me give a disclaimer that this story has nothing to do with real people or events. Any equality is just a coincidence. So in the ant kingdom, there was one scholar ant called Suzuki. And one day, the committee in this kingdom, which is responsible for giving Nobel Prizes to ant, they decided to give Nobel Prize to this Suzuki ant. The reason was, this Suzuki ant had published a report about analysis of a human body. Because this ant kingdom had big problem with humans. Not only they would give them food, but they would keep on killing them by their legs. So wherever the ants would be staying, inadvertently, unpredictably, like Mumbai monsoon, suddenly some humans will come and kill them. So it was a big danger. So many ants were trying to find out and predict when the danger will come, so that they can safeguard themselves. But they were always failure. So this Suzuki, he managed to publish a 108-page report describing the whole anatomy of a human body so that further research can be done how to protect themselves. So the report started saying that Suzuki, he went to a very dangerous expedition of climbing a human's head, on the head. Landed up in the head, very brave personality, and he reported that for few miles, their miles, ants' miles, it is just thick forest. Keep on walking, 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 thick black forest, nothing else. Then once Suzuki came to the end of the forest, He found out there's a big tract of land which we call forehead. More further, he found a very big mountain, slippery mountain, which we call nose, and two big valleys covered by another small thick forest which we call eyes. Further, Suzuki went and found out a big, dangerous hole with no end, which we call mouth, surrounded by two cheeks, two mountains, hills. And he went further and found out that below that there is a big valley from chin to neck, etc., etc. Now you know what is in the report, right? I don't need to tell the whole thing. So such a fabulous report, no scholar, no pandita has published. So the chairman of the Nobel Prize committee, he said, our Suzuki is very brave and courageous. Before him, so many of our colleagues have tried this expedition, but either they have been crushed or they found unconscious at the target area. But they never published a report. So we'll give this Nobel Prize to Suzuki. So Suzuki became famous. Now everywhere there were Suzuki institutes, Suzuki restaurants, Suzuki bars, and he came on the TV also. So one day, some old person in the ant kingdom, coming in some unknown sampradaya, translated a biology textbook of 8th standard. Our human biology textbook of 8th standard, especially the chapter on human anatomy. And he published it. And when people read it, they were confused. They said, our tradition from Suzuki says that human anatomy consists of big black forest, valleys, mountains, tract of lands, wet land, dry land, slopes. But this, some stupid report talks about hairs, eyes, lungs, kidneys, heart, arms, fingers, red blood. What is this? This is confusing. So they all approached Suzuki. He said, can you please explain? This unknown author has published a report. So Suzuki read it. He said, what is lungs? And what is heart? And what is this red blood? When I went, there was nothing red. What is this hairs? What is this eyes? Now Suzuki was confused. If he says the report by unknown author is correct, then his name is finished. If he says it's incorrect, then there will be an explanation asked. So next day there was a press conference. And Suzuki said, I have went to this report and my conclusion is, this is mythology. And everybody clapped, said, wow, what an explanation, trash it. And they trashed the report and Suzuki's report continued in the world. So I now hope you understand what I am saying. This is what modern scientists are doing. They are all like these ants, Suzuki's. If you take a big ball in the size of this temple hall and an ant crawls on this ball from any point A to point B, when the ant crawls, for the ant it will be a straight line. The ant will never understand that at some particular point it is taking a curve. Right? Because it's a very big ball as compared to the size of the ant. Even for us, we are walking on this earth planet which is considered a ball. We never realize it's curved anywhere. Okay, there is a flat earth understanding. I am not coming to that. We never realized that we are walking on a curved path. We always think we are walking straight. Because the earth is very big and we are very small. So the ant will never realize that it is walking on a curved path. In the same way, the modern scientists who are like an ant in this universe, they will never come to right conclusions by their methods. So whatever they publish, thinking that that is the best conclusion of their analysis and experimentation and expedition, is wrong. Cannot be accepted. And what comes from Vyasadeva and Sukadeva Goswami, they can't understand and they can't explain, so they say this is mythology. And people think, wow, such a nice explanation they gave. But how can this be a mythology? If Bhagavatam is a mythology, then such a good literature, who can write? Then we should give Nobel Prize to this person who wrote Bhagavatam, Nobel Prize in literature. Right? Because such a good mythology, who can write? But they don't accept that also, they don't give Nobel Prize to Vyasadeva. How can somebody think about all this? It has to be a greatest creative fiction writer in the era to even think about all this. You bring me the most creative person in this world and we tell him the whole story of Hiranyakashipu before Narasingadev appears, and now we tell him to complete the story, tell us how he will die with all the conditions Brahma gave. Can he come out with a character called Narasingadev? He can't come out. No creative person present on this earth can come out with a character of half man, half lion, who will kill Narasingadev right on the door, not inside, not outside, not up, not down. He can't come out with this character. The creative writer will say, Hiranyakashipu cannot be killed in this story. But Vyasdev has given, Sukhdev Goswami has given, so they are better. So why don't we read better books? Anyway, we have to read creative writers' books anyway. All the school textbooks, all the college textbooks are any creativity only. Because every 5 years they change. Syllabus changed. If every 5 years they change, that means it is not truth. Because truth is permanent. Truth cannot change. Truth is not dependent on time, place, circumstance. We can't say 5 years before this was the truth and now this is the truth, and after 5 years some other thing will be truth. Truth can't change. This syllabus is changing, so it is not truth. So anyway, we are reading fiction in our school and college. So why not read this? But more than that, this is truth because this is never changing. This is not just creative. Vyasdev has not just sat in the jungle and said, chalo kuch likhte hain. And he wrote 12 cantos Bhagavatam and 4 Vedas and Upanishads and 18 Puranas. Not possible. So just as an ant cannot understand by sense perception, by minute mind and minute intelligence, so we and modern scientists cannot understand. Those who have understood, they have given this knowledge. Who understands the structure of the universe? Brahmaji. How? Because he created it. Narad Muni. How? Because he went all over the universe. So that knowledge is given to Vyasdev. Vyasdev gave to Sukhdev Goswami. Sukhdev Goswami gave to Suta Goswami. So whom do we believe? Narad Muni, who has gone all over the universe? Brahmaji, who has created the universe? Or some stupid man with a telescope sitting in NASA and saying, oh, I saw this, this is the universe. Whom do we believe? Somebody sits here and with a telescope sees America. And he says, you know, America is like this. And somebody comes actually from America. Whom do we believe? Who come? So we believe Narad Muni, who has traveled everywhere. We believe Sukhdev Goswami. We believe Brahma. So this universe is so vast, is beyond our limited sensory perception. It has certain spatial dimensions which we can't reach. This Swargaloka, this Varshas, they are in different dimensions, they are invisible to our eyes. We can't reach those. And this particular place, this particular universe is one small universe coming out of one pore of Mahavishnu when he exhales. Like this, millions and millions of universes are coming out of Mahavishnu. We can't understand one part of the universe. How will we understand Mahavishnu? And people think they understand God. If you take an auto from here, and during the journey, you just ask the auto wala, do you know quantum mechanics? They say, nahi bhai sahab, I don't know. Say, do you know microbiology? They said, no, I don't know microbiology. Okay, do you know neuroscience? They say, no, I don't know. Do you know Krishna? Yes. Sab kuch malum hai. Everybody thinks they know God. God is in their pocket. Everybody ready to sit on Vyasasana and speak to thousands of fools. And how many Bhagavad Saptas are happening? But we can't understand Krishna. Only when he reveals himself by his own causeless mercy, we get to understand something about his greatness. You know, in some Indian trucks, behind they write, God is great. Right? You heard this? God is great. But how much great he is, nobody knows. He is way beyond our senses, beyond our mind, beyond our intelligence, beyond our words, beyond our logic, beyond our description, beyond our power of understanding. The best thing we can do with God is to offer him obeisances, because we can't understand him. So his creation is similarly complex for the jiva. So coming to Lokalok mountain. So on the top of the mountain, Lord Vishnu is personally residing. Not alone with his entourage. He is the master of all transcendental opulences. All the yogic siddhis, all the knowledge, all the austerities, all the dharma is with him. And he has all his weapons. Lord Vishnu carries four objects, four associates of his in his hands. Corn shell, lotus flower, club and chakra, Sudarshan chakra. So this Sudarshan chakra and club, these are his weapons. He has bow and arrow also. He has sword also. So these weapons are required for maintenance of the universe. So he is present there with his entourage, with his associates like Vishvasena, Garuda, Chakra, with a very beautiful body, wearing nice garland, yellow dhoti, nice earrings, nice jewelry, nice crown, very beautifully decorated personality. And he knows everything. He is the super soul of all living entities. In every living entity's heart, Vishnu is present. In every atom, Vishnu is present. That is how this world is moving. And he supplies power and energy to the demigods, to the other personalities who are involved in the maintenance of this universe, to Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Chandra, Varun, Surya, Prajapatis, the elephants, Anand Shesh, all these personalities who are involved in the universal maintenance, they are provided energy, power, authority by Lord Shri Vishnu. And he personally is involved in the maintenance. He appears, he takes avatar, incarnation, comes down on the planet time to time as required in all the species to maintain. Every incarnation has a specific purpose, a specific mission. So he has so many purposes to execute when he comes as an avatar. Avatar means one who descends down, descends from the spiritual realm to the material realm. Not from second floor to first floor. So one who descends from spiritual realm to the material realm, that is avatar. What is the purpose of avatar? Let us quickly make a list. Why does Krishna incarnate or any incarnation appears? Huh? Vinashayata duskrita, to kill the miscreants. And? Paritranaya sadhunam, to protect the sadhus. And? To establish religion. And? To give bliss to the devotees, yeah? To perform his pastimes. Good. And? To make the devotees? Words true. To fulfill the words of the devotees. Like Prahlad Maharaj said, Narasingadev is in the pillar. And yeah. Right, preaching. To make non-devotees into devotees. Bhagavad Gita, he gave, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And to attract the conditioned souls. Maharani Kunti has given so many reasons why the unborn is born. He is unborn. Better to keep his name unborn, but still he is born. That bewilders. If you say we are having Janmashtami of the unborn, it bewilders. In every lecture we say Krishna is not born, Krishna is not born, Krishna is not born. Then we'll say tomorrow Janmashtami, please come. We are celebrating his birthday. Grand scale. So it's bewildering to people. But he is born for his devotees. When Brahma goes and tells there is a problem, he appears. When Bhumi Devi goes and tells I need help, he appears. When Swayambhu Manu says I need help, he appears. So this is all in the maintenance. Maintenance of the material universe, maintenance of the material bodies of the jivas, and maintenance of spiritual life of the devotees. This all is done by Krishna. Even our maintenance of spiritual life is by Vishnu. He nurtures our, nourishes our life by his appearance, by his form, by his qualities, by his pastimes, by his deity form, by his holy name, and of course by Mahaprasadam. He nourishes us in all way, material and spiritual. So there are so many varieties of reasons why Krishna appears. And he maintains. Every single jiva is maintained by Krishna. The jiva is not maintained by sun or vayu or moon or parents or boss or government or authorities or anathashram, vidva ashram. No. We all are maintained by Krishna. All these are agents according to our karma. But they also require maintenance. So those who themselves require maintenance, they are not independent to maintain us. Our parents can maintain us only till our karma allows. If our karma doesn't allow, even if they want to give us some part of happiness, they can't give. If our karma says distress, they can't take away the distress. When a young baby is born, the milk of the baby is ready. Who arranges that milk? Father? Doctor? Mother? No, Krishna arranges that milk. Mother's body is such that as soon as she delivers the baby, her blood becomes milk. How? No scientist can take a test tube of blood and add some chemical and make it into milk. Mother is a better scientist. She can produce milk liters and liters without doing any experimentation in the laboratory. Just out of love for the baby. So Krishna has made such a maintenance for the baby. But the problem is when the baby grows up. He thinks I am engineer now. I am IITian now. I don't require Krishna. I will manage myself. And he works for his pizza. That is where the problem starts. He continues to be like a baby, dependent on Krishna. He will be managed very nicely. Inside the womb, the baby doesn't require anything from outside. Very nicely managed. Krishna has created that womb. Outside, the mother parent have to make so many arrangements for the baby. They have to have a house, they have to have a heater, they have to have an AC, they have to have a fan, they have to have a light, they have to have a bed, they have to have diapers, they have to have so many things for one baby. Inside the womb, all these things are available, whole supermarket. No, everything is there for the baby. Nothing required. Baby is growing. Outside, so many things are required. So this is Krishna's maintenance. You take one chiku, It is there on the tree, no maintenance required. You pluck it, 2-3 days, no maintenance required. Then as soon as you pluck it, maintenance is required. You have to put in the fridge. And as soon as you open the skin, it's gone after a few hours. It's protected by that skin. Such a soft, such a thin skin. It protects the whole chiku. We require big refrigeration to protect chikus. Krishna orange is just thin skin. Any fruit for that matter you take. If it's within the skin, it's protected. We remove the skin, it's finished. All the bacteria, fungus, they can't enter the skin. Such a powerful arrangement Krishna has. So this is small, small jivas. What about the planets? Big, big planets. As I said, a big park or a big factory will require so much maintenance. But big planet? Big universe? 4 billion miles? How much maintenance it requires? But Krishna does it without any effort. Vishnu does it without any effort. That is his arrangement. That is his power. The whole planet requires water. He has arranged ocean, sun, clouds. Such an easy arrangement. The sun will take water, make clouds, and the clouds will move with the wind, and the whole world will get water. If the government is told to take the water from the ocean and give to the whole city, can they give? Can they have tankers and motors filling water from the ocean and filtering it and then going all the houses and giving and then going all the trees and the planets and the rivers and the valleys and the mountains? They can't do. But Krishna has made such a simple arrangement. Vegetables, forest, everything is so pakka. That is natural. So that is Lord Vishnu, who doesn't have to put any effort. That is his opulence. That is his mystic opulence, which we can't compete. So Lord Sri Krishna does this, he incarnates under his own potency called Yogmaya, internal potency. Yogmaya, Mahamaya. These two are sisters. Mahamaya is superintendent of this material world. Her job is to make sure we are continuing in this material world. She covers our knowledge that we are part and parcel of Krishna. Avaran Atmika Shakti. She covers us so that we continue to enjoy sense gratification, sense objects. But if we are trying to come out of this Maya, then she pulls us back. That are her two jobs. Mahamaya. And then Yogmaya, who appeared as Krishna's sister, Yashoda's daughter in Gokul, her job is to arrange Krishna's pastimes with his devotees. All over Vrindavan, whatever pastimes are happening, they are arranged by Yogmaya, Vrindadevi, and all the assistants of Krishna, the assistant gopis, the assistant cowherd boys. So it's all arranged by Yogmaya and Vrindadevi. They arrange everything as per the pleasure of the Lord. Lord doesn't have to every morning take reports from Yogmaya and give instructions. She knows the heart of the Lord. She knows the wish of the Lord. She knows the desire of the Lord. In the spiritual world, Krishna's desires are fulfilled before he desires. If Krishna thinks of a mango, before even he finishes his thought, there will be a nice mango plate. Before even he finishes the thought. His desires are known to his devotees. His wishes are known to his devotees. Before the wish arises in his heart, it will come in devotee's heart that Krishna is going to desire for a mango. And there will be a mango. And we can't understand this because there is no past, present, future in the spiritual world. So Krishna's wishes are fulfilled before he wishes. That is the job of Yogmaya, the internal potency of Krishna. To arrange everything for Krishna as per his pleasure. To organize everything as per his requirement. If he wants to have Ras Leela, if he desires for Ras Leela, suddenly there will be a nice full moon, and there will be nice breeze, and there will be nice fragrant flowers, and it will be dark, and the gopis would be ready with nice shingar, and Krishna will go and have Ras Leela. If he wants to have Holi, suddenly the season in Vrindavan will change, it will become summer, there will be colors, and there will be white garments, and the devotees would be ready with all the instruments for throwing colors, and it will be all arranged. All the seasons, all the paraphernalia, everything is under the command of Yog Maya. All the six seasons are always present in Vrindavan. Yog Maya just has to tell, okay, now afternoon this pastime, this season. Morning this pastime, this season. And everything will be arranged. That is the internal potency of Krishna by which he comes in this material world and he performs his pastimes. It is completely foolish idea to think that Krishna is like us. He comes like us, like taking birth because of karma, or his body is of maya. Because some people think the absolute truth is impersonal. So when he comes as a person, he takes body of material nature and he incurs karma. This is Mayavad philosophy. And again in Bhagavad Gita, again and again in Srimad Bhagavatam, again and again in his purports, Prabhupada has spoken against this Mayavad philosophy. And there is a reason for this, because Mayavad is so all-pervasive in our hearts, we will not even know it is there. So we have to hear it again and again, we have to defeat Mayavad again and again, so we become strong, strong in devotional service. Many times Prabhupada would hear his own lectures, and those lectures in which he has strongly defeated Mayavad, he would like them. And he would sometimes chuckle, sometimes be in ecstasy hearing his own recordings. That yes, this is a nice point. We should defeat Mayavad like this. So, considering Krishna's form as material is a big blunder in spiritual life. He has a Satchidanand form, a very beautiful form, with the beauty so much that he attracts the whole world. Once Krishna is in Dwarka, walking, and the walls of Dwarka, the pillars of Dwarka Mahal are made of diamonds and emeralds and gems, big, big diamonds. So Krishna saw his own reflection. And he stopped. And he thought, who is this beautiful boy? He got attracted to his own beautiful form. Such a nice, beautiful form, if we come in contact, we should worship, we should appreciate, we should praise, we should pay obeisances, we should surrender. And people like Jarasandh, as soon as they see Krishna's form, they throw arrows. What a foolish idea. Instead of appreciating the Satchidanand form of Krishna, if somebody throws arrows, or somebody says this is Maya, or somebody says Krishna is impersonal, is like Jarasandh, demon. And what did Jarasandh got? Only his name was spoiled. Again and again he tried to kill Krishna. So Mayavad is like that. Instead of appreciating the beautiful form of Krishna, they deride his form. They deride his human-like pastimes. Instead of appreciating his pastimes and getting attracted, wherein he appears to be ordinary boy in Vrindavan, they deride this. So this particular concept, this particular reality is mentioned again and again in scriptures, that Krishna has a beautiful form. He is Satchidanand Vigraha. He appears here by his internal potency, not by external potency. Yog Maya, Atma Maya, not by Maha Maya. And with the help of that, he takes care of, he maintains the whole planet. And this Yog Maya is the one which attracts us towards Krishna. We are in Maya. Maya cannot release us from Maya. Yog Maya, Krishna's internal potency headed by Srimati Radharani, is the one who can bless to a conditioned soul to come out of Maya. So Yog Maya is worshipable for us. Vrinda Devi is worshipable for us. Haladani Shakti Srimati Radharan is worshipable for us. So we should, there is a Yogmaya temple also. So we should offer our obeisances to Yogmaya, appearing as Krishna's sister. Pay our obeisances and seek blessings so that we are eligible and pure enough to serve Shri Radha Raj Bihari. So this internal potency of Krishna completely satisfies Krishna. Krishna doesn't require anybody else externally to fulfill his desires or please him. He is completely satisfied by Radharani. So if we assist Srimati Radharani in the parampara, then only we can please Krishna. Directly what we have to do with Krishna? We are not qualified. So his potencies, his internal potency is the one which nourishes the devotional service of devotees. So we should pray, we should seek blessings, and we should grow in spiritual life. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. If there are any questions or comments, we may take. Mike.
हरे कृष्ण प्रभु जी.
हरे कृष्ण.
आज का लेक्चर भागवत का बड़ा सुंदर था. इसके ऊपर तीन बातें मेरे को भी अच्छी लगी. एक तो भगवान के बारे में अचिंत्य शक्ति के बारे में बताया ना आपने. उसके ऊपर कभी कभी मैं किसी से वार्तालाप करता हूं तो मतलब दे नहीं पाता, तो मैं एक ही बात कहता हूं, डोंट एस्टिमेट, डोंट एस्टिमेट, डोंट इमिटेट, बी इंटीमेट. एक तो ये बात कहता हूं, और एक इसलिए कहता हूं कि अपनी पत्नी की रक्षा करने के लिए हर कोई आदमी आता है. जब पत्नी संकट में पड़ती है तो भगवान की अर्धांगिनी है ये भूदेवी भी, इसके भी पाप हरने के लिए भगवान आते हैं. तो भूदेवी पत्नी होने के नाते भी भगवान हमारी रक्षा करते हैं. तीसरी ये कहता हूं कि साइंटिस्ट ने अब जाना है कण कण में भगवान. अभी साइंटिस्ट ने दो तीन महीने पहले शैंपेन खोल के सारी दुनिया के अंदर इसी चीज का प्रचार किया, कण कण में भगवान. अरे यही तो बात हम कह रहे हैं, कण कण में भगवान है. तुम बात को अब समझे हो, हम तो बहुत पहले से कहते आ रहे हैं कण कण में भगवान. और चौथी बात ये है प्रभु जी, जैसे पानी का स्तर जमीन से ऊंचा है, पानी का स्तर जो जमीन से ऊंचा है लेकिन पानी जमीन के ऊपर नहीं फैलता, ये कितनी बड़ी अचिंत्य शक्ति है भगवान.
अच्छी बात है, गुड, थैंक यू. और कोई प्रश्न?
हरे कृष्ण जी.
हरे कृष्ण
जी. आपने जो बोला महाविष्णु के जो इनहेल्स करते हैं, इनहेल्स जैसे होता है व्हेन महाविष्णु विल इनहेल्स एट दैट टाइम फ्रॉम हिज हेयर्स ऑल दिस बबल्स कम स्मॉल, सो दैट बबल्स गॉट स्टार्टेड इंक्रीज और the big bubbles only comes that no, like no. Brahman does.
They come in a seed form and then they expand. They expand on the surface of the causal ocean. Okay? But the seed is also very big. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, this Yogamaya is fully aware of Krishna's intention or Krishna's mood.
Yeah.
In that case, why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to come in the Radharani's mood?
Means, what this has to do with Yogamaya?
No. Why Krishna could not come to know Radharani's the love? What is the...
Are your both questions related?
Yes.
So what Yogamaya has to do with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance? It has nothing to do. In the sense that Krishna, when he comes in contact with Radharani, he becomes very happy. But when he sees that Radharani is becoming more happy than me, so he thinks that what is in Radharani, I know. I have experience, that's why I am happy. But what is in me that she becomes happy, I don't have that experience. A rasgulla doesn't have experience of rasgulla, because the rasgulla doesn't eat rasgulla. We eat rasgulla, so we have experience of rasgulla. So what is in me that Radharani becomes happy? So I want to taste myself. So he comes in the mood of Radharani to taste Krishna. Okay?
Thank you, Prabhu.
This is in a short way. For more details, you can read Chaitanya Chaitamrita. There are two chapters why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears. External and internal appear reasons. Any more questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yes, Anathan.
Prabhu, you mentioned in the lecture about this analogy of how when something is connected to nature, it doesn't require much maintenance. And it's true, like you mentioned about this, when a fruit is connected to the tree, it doesn't require any maintenance. And as soon as it's plugged, and then we have to do all, I mean, so many things. So, like, suppose if we give this same argument, somebody may say that, you know, when a fruit is on the tree itself for a long time, what happens? After a long time, it falls down. I mean, so like later part, what happens with the fruit, even if it is not plucked by someone?
If you are hungry, you pluck and eat. If you are not hungry, don't worry about it. It's not yours. Simple. If the 100 fruits in the tree and you are hungry for 2, why are you worried about 98? Somebody else will pluck and eat. Right? I eat 2 and 98 I'll keep in my refrigerator. What is this? You eat 2. Tomorrow's 2 also you will get, don't worry. Rest 98 somebody else will eat. If nobody eats, birds will eat. If birds will not eat, it will go down inside the earth. The nutrients will again come to the tree. Simple. Right? So somebody who says this, tell him how much you are hungry, that much you eat. Don't worry about rest. You go to the restaurant, what do you do?
Whatever is
you eat or you worry about it, vapre, iske kitchen mein itna stock hai, bichara kya karega? No, you eat and come. Don't worry about his stock. So don't worry about Krishna's fruits and Krishna's stocks. It is his fruits, he will take care of his jikus. Okay? You eat your 2. Okay, for you 3 is okay. Don't worry about 97. Krishna will take care of his fruits. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, we jivas in the material world recognize Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. But those who are associating with Lord Krishna in spiritual world, are they aware that Krishna is supreme personality of Godhead, or they know Krishna only as Krishna?
In Vrindavan, Golok Vrindavan, they don't know Krishna is God. In Vaikuntha, they know Narayana is supreme personality of Godhead. In Vrindavan, even Krishna doesn't know he is God.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.